Today is May 17th, the third of Sivan. 47th day of the Omer?
47.
Yeah, okay. And so we are continuing on with Perek Gimel of Shmuel Bet. We're still not done with it. Even though you'll see there's a little pay at the end, there's still 9 or 10 more psukim that we'll do next time. So as we said, we left off, Ishbosheth accused Avner of sleeping with his father's Pelegish. Avner didn't seem to deny it. We had a little debate whether he actually did or not, but he was deeply offended and basically said, you're only in power because of me, and I'm through with you, and I'm going to go to David's side. Okay, so that's where we are. Okay, here, sorry. Okay. Okay, so Udvar Avner, so we're on Pasuk Yod Zayin in Perek Gimel. Udvar Avner haya im zikne Yisrael lemor, gam tmol gam shalshom hayitim mevakshim et David lemelech aleichem. Okay, this is very interesting. So he spoke to the zikne Yisrael, and he said to them, you both yesterday and the day before, tmol shalshom, it's one of my favorite modern Hebrew phrases, it means the day before yesterday. And it was
nice restaurant.
Yeah, it's a really nice restaurant in Jerusalem. It's like tucked away somewhere.
My nephew was the mashgiach.
Oh wow, cool! When I was pregnant with my oldest son, I would crave a particular salad there that I'd have to leave Nishmat, my seminary, early and go. Like I couldn't. I don't know. Okay, so anyway, if you look at it carefully, tmol is like etmol, yesterday, and then shilshom, shalosh. So it's today, yesterday, the day before. So the day before yesterday. And it's also a phrase in biblical Hebrew just to mean in the past. We saw it with when we were comparing the whole story of Yaakov and Lavan with David and Shaul, that Yaakov says to Leah and Rachel about their father, like he uses this phrase, how your father's changed his attitude towards me. And I think we also saw it with David and Shaul in the changed attitude. So Avner is saying that the elders have been requesting David to be the king on them, over them. And Rabbi Zak points out here that this is really weird about Avner. Like, we had a little debate whether Avner is a Rasha or a Tzaddik, basically. Like, did he make Ishbosheth king because he's trying to fulfill this prophecy from Hashem to Yaakov? Or was he trying to, you know, preclude David from becoming king? And here we see that the elders had been asking for it. They wanted it. Ve'ata asu ki Hashem amar al David lemor biyad David avdi hoshia et ami Yisrael miyad plishtim umiyad kol oyveihem. This is also very interesting. It's sort of revisionist history here. So he says, and now do it to the elders, because Hashem said to David, saying, in the hand of David my servant, he'll save my nation, Israel, from the hand of the Plishtim. Now, who did Hashem give the prophecy that he would save them from the hand of the Plishtim? Not David. You remember? Shaul. Right, that was to Shaul. So it's very interesting. He sort of, I mean, it could be that now that Shaul's gone, David's inherited this prophecy, but we never have anything explicit like that. So it's just very interesting the way Avner is wording this. And from the hand of all of their enemies. I have some commentary. Sorry. So let's look at. It starts with Yodchet, the commentary. So, Ve'ata Asu. So, why does it say, and now do? Why do we need that word, and now? So, Mitzudat David says, Ritzon Lamar, Ho'il Ubat Sha'ul Nisu'alo. So, since now David's been reunited with Michal, the daughter of Shaul, so therefore he's also considered to be part of the house of Shaul. Therefore you can do what you requested from them. And Avner saying, and now also my hand is with him and I desire him from among all the house of Shaul. So the way the Mitzudat David is interpreting it to make more sense that the elders wanted this, is that it's not that the elders wanted specifically David, but that now that David is back reuniting with Michal, it's a continuation of Shaul. So it makes a little more sense that way. So Yud Tet. Vayedaber Gam Avner Ve'azne Ben Yamin. Okay, so now, so Avner, the elders were, seemed like an easy convince, and now Avner also has to speak into the ears of Binyamin, which is obviously where Shaul is from, and we spent a lot of time in the beginning of when Shaul was first anointed, talking about the fraughtness that is the tribe of Binyamin among all the other tribes, and the civil war from the book of Shoftim. So he has to now convince Binyamin that this will be good. Vayelech gam Avner lidaber be'ozne David. And he also went to speak with David, because David doesn't know his plan, right? He's announced it to everybody. He's telling everybody, but he hasn't yet spoken to David in Hebron. Et kol asher tov b'enei Yisrael b'enei kol beit Binyamin. So he was able to convince everybody, Yisrael, Binyamin, and he's going to tell David this now. So Radak offers some clarity on this. So Vayedaber gam Avner be'ozne Binyamin, that he went to go speak in the ears of Binyamin. And then he just explains the grammatical aspect. Kamo vayedaber Avner gam kein be'ozne b'nei Binyamin. And he also went to speak also the sons of Binyamin. V'lefi she'amar u'dvar Avner haya im ziknei Yisrael. And since it says that Avner was speaking with the elders of Israel, Amar ki gam be'ozne shevet Binyamin daber, he then said he should also go speak to the tribe of Binyamin. Even though the tribe of Binyamin was closer to the house of Shaul, they now more so desired the kingship of David, because they were witnessing David succeeding in all of his ways, in all his wars. We should read the corrected version. Mitz ma'atim, and they saw that Shaul was decreasing. V'lo haya lahem siman yafe b'melucha, and they had no good sign of their kingship. V'od ki Avner hu heteh et levavam, and also because Avner swayed their hearts acharei David, after David, mipnei shiratza lashlim imo, because he wanted to make peace with him. V'lechach amar hinei zeh hasipur mizeh ha'inyan u'mizot ha'machama. And therefore he said to them, here's the situation, and we should join forces with David, basically. Okay, so that's what he said to Binyamin. Kaf vayavo Avner el David Chevron. So Avner went to David in Chevron. V'ito esrim anashim. And with him were 20 men. Now, Rav Bezak points out that this is very interesting that we're given this number, because 20 men is the number that David's camp lost in that crazy wrestling match that turned into a civil war. And it was 19 plus 1. Asael is the one. We're going to be talking about Asael a lot now. So it's significant he came with 21 as a way of forging peace. Vayas David la Avner v'la Anashim asher ito mishta. And David made a party for Avner and for the people that were with him. So again, David's just the way he greets Avner, and he makes a party for them, and he just takes them on face value, which you can imagine the one who's going to be most upset about this is Yoav, who's David's chief of staff, chief military man. Okay, so that's going to be our main conflict in this parak. Kaf Aleph, Vayomer Avner el David. Avner said to David, Akuma ve'elecha ve'ekbitza el Adoni ha'melech et kol Yisrael. I will rise and I will go and I will gather to my Lord the King all of Israel, v'churtu itcha brit, and they will make a covenant with you. Umalachta b'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha, and you will rule over whatever your heart desires. Okay, so this is, so now we still have this question, Sadiq or Russia. You know, we can, it's very odd, and unfortunately, we'll never really know, because it's a very tragic end here. Okay, Vayishalach David et Avner, Vayelach b'shalom. And David sent Avner. And this Vayishalach in the PL means like he's on a specific mission, which is to gather all the Jews to unite them, as opposed to Vayishlach, I think. I think that's the proper grammatical thing, which could just mean to send. And he went in peace. And you see, I bolded that because you'll see it's mentioned three times. Vayelech b'shalom, and he went in peace. So the author, here, I think, is trying to convince us that Avner really did have good intentions, that this really could have become something. Okay, Kafbet. After Kafbet, we have more commentary. Vihine avde David v'yov ba mehagadud. So now, Avner went off in peace, and now who's coming? Avner. So Avner in his platoon, how do they translate it? And behold, David's servants came from pursuing a troop. Okay, so... Okay, but so they came... I don't see the word pursuing in there. But a gadud is a platoon, I think. Okay. So the servants of David and Yoav came from this. Vishalal Rav Imam. And they had a lot of booty with them. Shalal is booty. Okay, so they did come from some waging war somewhere, somehow. And they had Imam Heviu. They brought a lot of booty. But Avner einenu im David bechavron. And Avner was not anymore with David in Chavron. Ki shilcho, because he sent him off. Just note again, it says shilcho, not shalcho. Okay? Vayelech b'shalom, and he went in peace. Again, we're repeating it here. Okay, so let's read what the Malbim has to say about that. No, we have to read Kaf Gimel first too, sorry. V'yoav v'kol hatzava yito ba'u, and Yoav and all the army with him came. And that is going to be the Malbim's first question, because it already said that Yoav came with all the servants of David, and now it's saying Yoav came in his entire army. It's repetition. Ve'agiru li'Yoav, and they said to Yoav le'mor, saying, Ba Avner ben Ner el ha'melech. Avner ben Ner came to the king, ve'yishalchehu, and he sent him off, ve'yelech b'shalom, and he went in peace. Okay? So third time we have ve'yelech b'shalom. So Avner's... Yoav is being told of this meeting between Avner, who's his, you know, arch enemy on the other side with Shaul, and that he went, they had this peaceful meeting and he went in peace. Okay, so let's read what the Malbim says. So the question here is, why is this repetitive? We don't have to read it, I told you. Vihine avde David, and behold the servants of David. Natan gimel sibot she'arav lev Yoav lasot kazot. So these psukim are giving us three reasons for why Yoav, I think what the Malbim is saying is, would eventually rise up and kill Avner. Okay? So here are the three reasons. Echat, Sheviu imam shalal rav v'nasu rochol la'asot et asher yichpots. He was enriching David in the kingship with this booty, this huge amount of booty, which is why it mentions it there. So he felt he could do whatever he wanted. That's the second question. Answer: She Avner einenu im David, because Avner was no longer with David. Deim lokin hayad David mocha biadam, because if that were the case, David would have stopped him. Vigam shemize shahalach Avner ledarko matza amatla litoon negdo kamo shitber. And this, that Avner went on his way. Yoav then had an amatla, I'm going to define that for you in a second, in order to make a claim against him, as it will be discussed. So an amatla, this is actually why I had to include the Malbim, even though it's an interesting comment. He has an interesting comment as well. So an amatla is a good excuse. It's one of the things that I'm learning about in my program. If a woman says something about her status, whether she's tahor or tameh, and then it turns out she was actually not telling the truth at that moment. If she had an amatla, a good excuse, then we can believe her of what she says her actual status is. Okay, so that's what a plausible excuse. That's what an amatla is. Okay, and we're going to see what his plausible excuse was. Okay, so Gimel in the Kaf Gimel in the Malbim again. This is the third reason why Yoav felt he could do whatever he wanted. V'yoav v'chol atzava ba'u, and Yoav and his whole army came, shelo nifkad mehem ish. And what I think this means is he had his entire army. So when he was on this plundering thing, whatever he was doing, it doesn't really tell us what he was doing, but wherever he was, he didn't lose a single man. V'gam ze natan tokef l'yoav lasot k'ratzon libo. And this also gave Yoav the strength to do whatever his heart wanted. Okay, so this description of the way in which Yoav returns from this plundering without having lost a single man and Avner's not there, he's been sent away, is all what causes the next situation that's going to happen. Okay, so, and you can, having those things in mind, you, that the Malbim has just told us, you can better understand how Yoav is going to speak to David in the next sentence, which is really hard to wrap your head around. So, Kaf Dalet, Vayavo David El Melech, El HaMelech, so Yoav came to the king, Vayomer, and he said, Me asita, what have you done? Hine ba Avner elecha, lama ze shilachto vayelech haloch. Avner came to you? Why did you send him out? And he has gone. Okay, so instead of saying vayelech bashalom, Yoav says vayelech haloch, he has surely gone. It's a big contrast, leaving out all the peace. Can you imagine somebody speaking to the king, Masita, what have you done? Right? It's quite chutzpahdik. But given all this, that Yoav is feeling quite powerful, wherever he was fighting on his own without David. David wasn't there. And he brings back all this plunder and booty, and hello. No problem. And so...
You wonder, though, because there was this power back, how much that will, and sort of everybody is fighting for the prominence of David, and that is Yoav's main goal, is to make David the one and only king. The fact that David hasn't sort of clued his general in as to what's going on.
Right.
Like, David... You could say maybe David should have informed Yoav so that he didn't feel as though, like, his whole mission is, like,
right,
for not, like, and it's also sort of a power struggle, like, maybe he feels like he's going to be replaced by Avner.
Exactly.
And if David had clued him in and said, you're my general, but I need Avner to restore peace.
Right.
Like, maybe there should have been more communication between David,
right,
and Yoav in order for him to not act like, because you could see how, like, his entire mission has gone haywire.
Exactly. On the other hand, it's not like David could text Yoav on the battlefield. So he came, and David probably had intentions to tell him, but for whatever reason, the servants came and informed him,
right,
first, and with whatever bias they may have had, and that's how he found out, and this is how he's reacting.
Yeah.
So it's also... I think there's a contrast between how David reacts to Avner coming by making a mishteh, whereas and thinking the best, whereas Yoav reacts to just hearing about it and thinking the worst. So yeah, if maybe if David had gotten to him first, if you'd prioritize that. Yeah. Okay. So kaf hey. We have to do. Did we just read kaf dalet? Yeah. So we have to do the Malbim on kaf dalet. Okay, sorry for the back and forth. We have to do kafe too, because that's the questions. Sorry. Yadata et Avner ben Ner ki lefatotcha ba. So he's saying, you know Avner ben Ner, and you know that he came to entice you. Viladat et motzacha ve'et mova'echa, to know your comings and goings. V'ledat et kol asher ata osen, to know everything you do. So Yoav is right away thinking, this guy did not come to make peace with you. This guy came as a spy. Right? He's pretending to make peace, and you, David, in your gullibility, as usual, because you think the best in everyone, have just accepted him, and you've now opened up your kingship to infiltration and leakings. Okay. So back to the Malbim now. Kaf Dalet. Here are the questions. So that which is written, why did you send him and he has surely gone? Shehu sfat yater, is this superfluous language? V'chein madua lo ta'an Yoav t'chila et shalach Avner malachav. And why didn't Yoav demand in the beginning the time that Avner sent his messengers? So I guess, meaning, and Deborah, this sort of speaks to your point, if I'm understanding this correctly, that Avner had sent messengers beforehand. So why didn't Yoav then respond then? Why is he waiting now until Avner actually came? Ve'echochiach shebal regel. And how does he prove that he came to spy? Ve'lama kafa liftotecha leda'at motza'echa. Why is there seeming redundance with the seducing you and knowing your comings and going? Leda'at kol asher kolatat. Why does that seem redundant, all the things that he said that Avner was coming to know? Ma'asita. Ta'anato hayashi im hayaba met Avner mored b'malko. Ve'holech bilti ritzono. Hello, Hayamit Yavra Lashiv Lebeito. So here Yoav's actually making a strategic claim. If Avner were truly rebelling against Ishbosheth and going without his will, wouldn't he be afraid to go back home? Ki bivadai yehargehu hamelech, because of course the king would kill him b'sham o ki karat brit im oivo, when he would hear that he established a covenant with his enemy. B'hayalo lihishai pro, he should have stayed here. Lachasot b'tzelcha mechmat malko, to take refuge in your shade from his king. Okay, so Yoav is saying this whole thing sounds fishy, that Avner came to rebel against Ishbosheth, and now he's happily traveling the country in Ishbosheth's territory when he should really be afraid. This must be some kind of spy job. V'zesh amar lama zesh lach tov v'yelech olech. Why have you sent him? Now he's surely gone. Mima shehalach v'shav mevoar shehalach mida'at mako uba lecha kemeragel. The fact that he's coming and going means that he went with the knowledge of his king and he came to you as a spy. V'im ken lo haya ra'ui shetishachehu. And therefore you shouldn't have let him go, have sent him off. Okay, kaf he, again, because we already read that pasuk. Yadata Avner, you know Avner, ki bevadai bal al echad migimel ofanim. He for sure came for one of three reasons. The first one, ki lefato techaba, to seduce you, shetetela v'tipol b'rishoto, that you would go out to him and then you would fall under his authority. Bet, im lo yale zot biado, if this wouldn't happen, al kol panim baladat et motza'acha v'et movecha, then at the very least he would know your comings and goings. V'sham yipol amachanecha v'yinatzecha, and there he would be able to fall upon your camp and beat you. Gimel im gam zot lo yala biado, and if he wasn't able to do this, al kol panim yerviach ladat kol asher ta'aseh. At any rate, he would have inside information on what everything you do. Shegam alzeit chakmo ha'oyvim, because the enemy can still become wise with this. Latur etana aseh bebeit bale mechamatem beet sodotehem. He can get your war strategies and all your secrets out of you, even if he can't actually defeat you. Okay, so that's how the Malbim explains all those different seemingly redundancies there. Okay, Kaf Vav. Veitze Yoav Me'im David. Yoav left David. Veishlach Malachim Acharei Avner. And he sent messengers to Avner. Veyashivu Oto Mibor Hasira. And they returned him to this pit of thorns, I think is how it's translated. V'David lo yada. And David didn't know that Yoav was sending messengers and bringing Avner to him. Okay, so now, let's look at Malbim. Kafa, v'yitzeich v'chulei v'yishlach malachim. So he sent messengers, tekef, immediately, leman yichashvu sheshalach bipkudat David. He sent it immediately upon leaving David so that everyone would think that it was on the command of David that he sent these messengers. V'lechein hodia ha'amet, and therefore the pasuk had to tell us the truth, ki v'David lo yada, that David had no clue. Okay, kafzayin. So now here's where we get to the real gore. Vayashav Avner Chevron. So Avner returned to Chevron. Vayatehu Yoav el toch hashar. And Yoav caused him to turn aside into the gate. Lidaberito, to speak to him. Basheli, in this quiet way. Vayakehu sham hachomesh. And he smited him, he smote him, and this is the same way that Avner killed Asael, in this fifth rib, which is this very sensitive place in the body with a lot of organs. Vayamot bedam Asael achiv. and he died on the blood of Asael, his brother. Okay, now you guys can figure out based on what we read, given what Yoav said to David, what would we expect the reason for the killing to be? And he died because he'd be a possible spy. But instead, he died because of Asael, his brother, which really puts Yoav in ill repute, because it seems like he's really doing this for completely selfish reasons and not for David's reasons. Okay? But just keep in mind, as we read about Yoav, that he is David's nephew. Okay? Okay, so let's read about that in the commentaries now. And this will take a little while. So, Malvim first. Vayamot bedam Asael. Shirak zot haya hasibo laharigato. That only this was the reason to kill him. Lo eze chashad v'letovat ha-melech. Not any suspicion or for the good of the king. Okay, so the Malvim is quite strong on that. We're going to see it's not so cut and dry among all the other commentaries. Okay, so now we have a very interesting Gemara. Also, just note in the language of the Psukim that he drew him into this gate to talk to him, but then there's no talking, there's no discussion. So the Gemara kind of makes up a discussion. Okay, so this is from Sanhedrin. A lot of these Gemaras about David and Shaul and Yoav and Avner, they're from Sanhedrin. You'll see this is Mem Tet Amud Aleph, and then the next one we're going to do is actually prior to that, but I did it in this order. Okay, so let's just read the English. Again, it's from Sefaria, with you can see the actual translation versus the commentary. The verse states, "And Yoav went out from David and sent messengers after Avner, and they brought him back from Bor Sirah." The Gemara asks, what is the meaning of the name Bor Sirah? Rabbi Arva Bachar Kahana says, "A well, which is Bor, and a thorn, Visira, caused Avner to be killed. Avner became liable to be killed when he failed to take advantage of two opportunities to bring about a reconciliation between King Shaul and David. First, when David cut off a corner of Shaul's robe after he entered a cave in order to relieve himself." You remember that? How he was modestly relieving himself and David just cut off his robe. "And second, when David found Shaul sleeping and took the jug of water and the spear from next to his head." And that's when, if you remember, Avner was actually with him. The whole camp was sleeping. "Rather than tell Shaul that David could have killed him and refrained from doing so, Avner suggested to Shaul that his robe may have been torn by a thorn bush, and that his jug of water may have been taken by one of his own men. These two incidences are alluded to by the words bor, well, for example, jug of water, and sira, thorn bush." Okay, so it's very interesting that the Gemara does not mention Avner being liable for death at all because of the Asael incident, because that was clearly in war and he was being chased. Gemara seems to agree with that. But for these other incidences, for not having taken the opportunity to make peace, which is so sadly ironic that when he's killed, he's on a mission to make peace. But I guess it's too little too late. Okay, the verse states, "And Yoav took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly." Rabbi Yochanan says, "Yoav judged Avner according to the halacha of the Sanhedrin, which would sit in judgment by the gate of the city." Okay, so gates are always where judges sit. We see it first with Lot, who had sat by the gate of Sodom, and they said to him, "Who placed you judge over us?" And then coming up for Shavuot, Ruth, Boaz takes Ruth to the gate to have her chalitza done with Ploni Almoni, and then they get married. Okay, how so? Yoav said to Avner, so here's the Gemara saying what conversation they actually had. "What is the reason that you killed Asael?" Avner said to him, "Asael was pursuing me with the intention to kill me, and therefore he had the status of a pursuer." Okay. So he said, "You were a Rodef, and I could kill you in self-defense." Yoav said to Avner, "Even so, you could have saved yourself by wounding one of his limbs. You didn't have to kill him." Avner replied, "I was not able to do so as I was running and could not aim with precision." If you remember, he used the back of his sword, right? Yoav said to him, "Now, seeing that you were able to aim and hit him precisely in the fifth rib," saying, "No, you hit him in exactly the right case. How can you say you didn't have time? Could you not have successfully aimed at one of his limbs?" The Gemara asks, what is the meaning of to speak with him quietly, b'sheli? Rabbi Yehuda says that Rav says he took him aside to speak to him by way of deception, shalu. As for what is stated, and Avner smote him with the butt end of the spear in the chomesh, Rabbi Yochanan says he hit him in the fifth chomeshit rib, the place where the gallbladder and liver hang. Okay, so clearly Yoav was not convinced by Avner's explanation, and he killed him. And this is the conversation that's taking place at that time. Okay, so now we have to read more psukim, and then we'll read the next Gemara. Okay, so we are on... Okay, Kafchat. Vishma David Meacharechin. So David heard after this. Vayomer Naki Anochi Umam Lachti Meim Hashem Adolam Midme Avner Ben Ner. I and my kingship are clean from Hashem forever from this blood of Avner Ben Ner. Meaning this was completely independently Yoav. I had nothing to do with this. Kaftet Yahulu Arosh Yoav. So now David is going to make a curse unto Yoav. It should begin on the head of Yoav, ve'al kol beit aviv, and on the entire house of his father, ve'al yikaret mi beit Yoav, and may there not fail from the house of Yoav. Okay, meaning this is what will happen within the house of Yoav. Zav. A zav is someone who has some kind of emission from an emission from his organ. Umetzora, so tzoraas is what we say is leprosy. Umachzik b'felech, who leans on a staff. V'nofel b'cherev, in falling upon the sword. V'chasar lachem, in lack of bread. Okay, so these five things are the curse that David is putting on Yoav for generations. Lamed, actually, let's read that after. Okay, so now we'll read this Gemara. The Gemara can. Okay, so Rashi. This translation is going according to Rashi. We're going to see different interpretations of this translation. Okay, so we're on page 4. The Gemara continues to discuss the incident involving Yoav. After Yoav took refuge in the sanctuary, and King Solomon sent Benaiah, son of Yehoiada, to fall upon him. Okay, so what's happening? When David was dying, he gave Shlomo a list of things to take care of that he hadn't been able to take care of. And one of them, we can actually look at it now. It's on page 6. It's the very last source. We'll just read in English. Moreover, you also know what Yoav, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, to Avner, the son of Ner, and to Amasa, the son of Yeter, which we haven't gotten to yet, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace. And again, like all the shalom that we saw before, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins and his shoes that were on his feet. And you shall do according to your wisdom, and do not let his hoary head go down to the grave in peace. Okay? So he's essentially giving him a command after he dies that Shlomo should kill Yoav. Okay? So that's indeed what happened. Shlomo sent Benaiah, the son of Yehoiada, to kill Yoav. And Yoav then fled into the sanctuary, and he grabbed the horns of the altar. Okay? If you can imagine that scene. So that's what's happening. Benaiah ordered Yoav to leave the sanctuary, whereupon Yoav refused. The verse then states, and Benaiah brought the king word back, saying, so said Yoav, and so he answered me. The Gemara explains, Yoav said to him, go and say to Shlomo, you cannot perform two actions to this man, to me, Yoav. If you kill him, me, you and your descendants will receive the curses with which your father cursed me. And if you do not wish to receive those curses, let him go so that he may receive the curses with which your father cursed him. And the next verse states, and the king said to him, do as he has said, and fall upon him and bury him. Solomon thereby accepted his father's curses upon himself and his descendants. Okay, so we're going to see that all five of these things happen to five different kings that are all descended from David. The Gemara is going to show us how. And so this was like a righteous act of Shlomo in order to fulfill his father's dying wish to kill Yoav, that he then took upon himself that these curses would be on him. We're going to see some very different interpretations of that. Okay.
Why was that? Because when he was holding on, he was not allowed to kill him. That's
yeah, but he did kill him.
Right, but that's why yeah. he got the curses, right.
Yeah. Okay. Rav Yehuda says that Rav says, all the curses with which David cursed Yoav were ultimately fulfilled in David's descendants due to the curse that Solomon accepted upon himself. So in this interpretation of the events, just you'll see David is completely clean of any wrongdoing. David cursed Yoav, let the house of Yoav never lack such as are afflicted with a discharge, that's the Zav or a leper, or that hold on to a staff or fall by the sword or lack bread. The Gemara clarifies, the curse of being afflicted with a discharge was fulfilled among Solomon's descendants in Rehovam. As it is written, and King Rehovam made speed to get him up to his chariot, Bamirkava, to flee to Jerusalem. And it is written, in whatever saddle he that has a discharge rides upon shall be unclean. So they make a dichotomy between those two verses. The similarity between the words Merkava and Merkav indicate that Rehovam was a Zav. The curse of leper was fulfilled among Solomon's descendants in Uzziah. So he got Sara'at. The curse, I'm just skimming it, the curse of those who hold onto a staff was fulfilled in Asa. As it says, but in the time of his old age, he was deceased in his feet, so he couldn't walk. And going down, page 5, the curse of those who fall by the sword was fulfilled among Solomon's descendants in Yoshiah, and the archer shot at King Yoshiah. He fell by the sword, and Rav Yehuda says, they shot him with so many arrows, they turned his whole body into a sieve. The curse of those who lack bread was fulfilled among Shlomo's descendants in Yechoniah, as it is written, and as for his food allowance, there was a continual food allowance given him by the king. This was in Babylon, actually. So he had limited food. Okay? And then the Gemara ends with this nice phrase, be the one who is cursed and not the one who curses, as a curse eventually returns to the one who curses. So that's the only slightest hint you have in this Gemara that maybe David did something wrong in this curse. But otherwise, David's descendants come by these curses honestly because they had to kill Yoav in the Mishkan and they had to make this deal. The Maharsha explains on that Gemara that each one of these kings actually deserved this, a punishment. They weren't great kings. They all deserved it. But maybe they would have been punished in a lighter way than they were in this case if they hadn't. Okay, so the Radak, Umachzik Bafalech, they'll hold on to the staff. Machzik B'mashanit Machmat Choli Ha'agat, right? He'll do that because he'll be sick in his feet. And our rabbi said, Kol ha'klalot ha'elu nitkaimu b'zera shel David. All of these curses were fulfilled in the line of David. Lefi shelo kedin klalu achiv. Because he didn't properly, it wasn't according to justice that he cursed Yoav. Shehaya b'dato litzvot alav lahargo. Because Radak is saying that this is exactly what David intended to command Yoav to do, to kill Avner. Which also kind of makes sense strategically. That maybe he was pretending to be welcoming Avner, but really he never would have let him live. And that's what the Radak is saying. So the Radak is giving us a totally different take on this. V'chein asa. V'hecha nitkaim. Okay, and that's what happened. David got all these curses on him because it wasn't really fair. He wasn't completely clean. While he never did command Yoav to carry it out, and Yoav did it of his own volition, David had intended to do exactly what Yoav did. Okay, so the rest of the Radak is going to be repeated in other sources, so we'll skip that. Okay, the Al-Shich, Vayishma David, And David heard, Velo miyad elam achreichen, afterwards, vayomer, hen amet shalot. Okay, sorry. No, I don't want to read that. Okay, so now the Malbim. Vali karet mi beit Yoav zav mitzora. And there will never be cut off from the house of Yoav a zav or a mitzora, all these curses. Amru chazal. So the rabbi said, ki b'chamisha devarim ha'av zochel levanav mitzad zchuto. There are five ways that a father can merit to his son from the side of his own merit. And what are these five things that the father can ensure for his son's future? Noi, which is beauty, chokhmah, wisdom, osher, riches, koach, strength, and yamim, length of days. Ve'amar ki Yoav avad zchuto. And here he's saying, Yoav lost his merit. And of these five things correspond to each of the five curses. And the most interesting, so it's going to be explained later, but so I'll just read it quickly now. So in place of strength, he becomes a zav, has an emission. And in place of beauty, he becomes a leper. In place of wisdom, he has to hold on to the staff, because a pelach is not just a staff, but it's also a spindle. And it means he won't know how to make any money except for the work of women, because they would have the spindle. Okay, and instead of length of days, he's going to fall by the sword, and instead of riches, he's going to be lack of bread. Okay, and then this midrash goes on to explain that in greater detail, and just giving, so the midrash is the source of that, which the Malbim just said. I just brought it in because the midrash, in contrast, says how Yitzchak inherited all five of these things from Avraham and goes and gives psukim to prove it all. And Yoav, in this curse, loses all his merit, and this is why all of these things are bequeathed to him by David in this curse. Okay, we're not going to read it inside, that's what it says. Okay, so now the very last pasuk. So you can see from that, it's unclear whether David was indeed completely innocent, and the only reason that these things happened to his descendants was because of this deal that Shlomo had to make in order to kill Yoav, or if David, there was a certain dishonesty there of him being completely clean and he intended to do this, and therefore he deserved for these things to happen to his descendants, in a sense. Okay, so the last pasuk in this section, not in this parak, we'll finish the parak next time, but in this section, V'yoav v'avishai achiv hargu le'avner al asher himit et asael achiham v'giv'on b'milchama. So now we're introducing something new in this last pasuk. Yoav and Avishai, who's his brother, they killed Avner because he caused Asael's death, their brother, in Givon in the Milchama. Okay, so now we have to answer, where did Avishai come from here? So the Radak says, Yoav v'Avishai. Avishai haya im Yoav kishahargu. So he's saying Avishai was with him. And he was involved in it, and it's as if he also killed him. B'milchama, klomar hu harag asel b'milchama, v'hem hargu avner b'shalom. So the Radak, who I think was the one who was arguing that Avner was actually a tzaddik, and the only reason why he made Ishbosheth king was to fulfill the prophecy, continues in that line even through this, where he says that Avner killed Asael in war, but these two, Yoav and Avishai, killed Avner in peace. And that's with the repetition of the peace. Okay? So meaning Yoav and Avishai were totally in the wrong, whereas Avner was in the right. He had a halachic reason to kill Asael. Shem Amar David, because David said in our very last pasuk that we already read, and shed the blood of war in peace, meaning there was no reason to kill him. Okay, and to finish with the Malbim, he asks a question on this pasuk. this pasuk of Avner and Avishai killing, Yoav and Avishai killing Avner, really should have appeared much earlier. Why is it being mentioned here? Yoav and Avishai achiv, Yoav and Avishai brothers. Mivaer madua kalal mishpachat Yoav. This explains why the family of Yoav was cursed. Ki gam Avishai achi Yoav azar leharatzach hazeh. Because Avishai, the brother of Yoav, also helped in this murder. Bilo tomar sheyak fi hadin, and it doesn't say that it was according to justice. Shehem golei dam asael, because they were the what's the English word for golei dam that they
revenge killer.
What'd you say?
Revenge
killer of asael. Ze'ino, this is not true. Ki himito begivan b'milchama, because again the Malbim here is like the Radak. When Yoav killed Asael, it was in Givon in war. Shesham haya rodef v'haya yachol lehargo, because there he was pursuing him and he could have killed him. Okay, so we're left with David's nephew Yoav having killed Avner, which, except for the one source we saw, everyone agrees was totally unjustified and wrong. And now David's going to have to respond to this in such a way that he can continue to unite the kingdom, even though it looks like he's completely rejecting the house of Shaul and all of Binyamin in this, what looks like him having commanded Yoav to kill Avner. So he has to somehow make a show of it and prove that that was not the case. It's similar to the killing of Shaul, where David had to mourn for him in such a public manner to show that he would never have intended Shaul to be killed. So he's in a similar predicament here. And next week we'll see how he handles it in response. Okay.